Football is officially back, and we've got you covered right here on the Ringer NFL feed. I'm Sheil Kapadia, and every Tuesday and Friday, Ben Solak and I will be bringing you Extra Point Taken.
Nora Princiati here to tell you that Stephen Ruiz and I will be coming to you every Monday and Thursday. Our Monday show will recap everything from Sunday's games. Thursday show will encompass any news during the week with an eye towards the next slate of games.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Ringer NFL.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Kevin O'Connor, and joining me today is Alex Saar from the Perth Wildcats. He's an 18-year-old, 7-foot French forward, with a 7-foot-5 wingspan, playing for the Perth Wildcats. I interviewed Saar last week because he was in Nevada playing against the G League Ignite. Perth traveled over here for the annual games that the G League is hosting. Last year, of course, we had Scoot Henderson versus Victor Wembanyama in the Mets 92. This year, it's Perth from the NBL. Saar is the top prospect from that team. I had him ranked 17th going into these games. Now he's in my top five. Saar was amazing, and I got to talk to him about his big week, his expectations for this coming season with Perth, how he envisions himself in the NBA. I thought he was super insightful. I loved the conversation, and I hope you enjoy it too. Here's my conversation with Alex Saar.
I'm here with Alex Saar from the Perth Wildcats, potential number one pick in the 2024 NBA draft. This week was pretty great for you against the G League Ignite. You had 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 blocks in game one. Game two, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 6 blocks, 3 steals, 3 assists. A nasty performance. How'd you feel going to sleep that night after your second game?
Felt great, really. Felt like I had a good game, so and we had to win too. So that was really something I wanted to achieve because we got beat on the first game. So it was really just a great feeling.
I mean, that game too. So after the game, I went out to dinner, went to Momofuku at the Cosmopolitan, and as I'm walking out, I see an NBA GM who I'm familiar with, and I say hi to him. You know, what did you think about the games this week? And he says to me, I mean, Alex Saar, man, he might be the number one prospect in this year's drafts. And we talked about that for a couple minutes and how, for you, I had you originally, like, my way too early board. Like, the board doesn't matter at this point. Like, the draft's not till June. I had you at 17. Mm-hmm. That was dumb. It's really dumb. I had you way too low. You're definitely in my top five at this point. But he's one of the better drafting GMs in the league who said that to me. It seems like that's what a lot of people are saying after this week. What shifted, in your opinion? Are people just noticing? Are you better now? Like, what shifted, in your opinion?
Yeah, I feel like the main difference is just like the setting. People saw me playing. I was playing at the youth level, like with the national team, where it's more like, I would say, less freedom. Like, you're just running sets. You're just like doing things for the team way. But here I have like a bigger role. So I guess that's the first time people saw me play that way. But I'll say I think I've always been playing that way. But it's now that I play professionally with the Wildcats that really people see me like as a different player.
I mean, like the first thing people notice about you is your defense. You had that possession on Friday's game where you just went stride for stride with Ron Holland, coast to coast, ended up blocking his shot. Like it was one of those like wow types of defensive plays, and you have those all the time. You cover so much ground as a weak side rim protector. You cover ground on ball. You can defend guards, wings. You're 7 feet tall. You can defend some bigs as well. Like you are a unique defensive type of prospect. How do you see your defense evolving as you continue to mature physically, mentally? Where do you see it going?
I think I see my defense just like evolving as just me being better. I just like treating my spots and not over helping, because sometimes because obviously I think I'm a good shot blocker. Every time I try to like be aware of everything that's happening, and I might over help on a couple blocks, but I just see it going like as me being able to guard like five position, I hope, in like next few years.
Now, so you talk about guarding five positions. So like there will come a time in the NBA where how much do you weigh right now?
220.
220. Okay, so you're 220 right now. Like there's the 260-pound guys, there's Jokic, there's Embiid, there's even like Sabonis types as bigs. Do you see yourself as someone who is a five position defender, including those types of like super heavy bigs, or are you more like 1-4 and then most nights most fives are like closer to your weight, your physicality?
Yeah, I think.
Do you want to get that big is what I'm trying to say?
I mean, I think I could be able to guard this type of player without getting like 260. Mm-hmm. I think something for me is I want to keep my frame, because I think that's what makes me fast and athletic. So I think like just in few years, just gaining strength, I think I'll be able to like handle this and just like be able to put these guys like in a bad spot for a shot just because of my length. Maybe they'll be stronger, but I think I have other tools to like counter that.
For sure. I mean, like, I think you can compensate for a lack of, you know, strength with the length, the quickness, and, you know, the pounds on the scale don't necessarily correlate with actual strength.
Yep.
Your ability to read a player and make an impact, or the way a defense is playing, it's five men.
Yeah.
It's like defense is never about the individual. And offensively, just to stick with the discipline aspect, the one area you aren't disciplined on offense is sometimes you travel when attacking closeouts. They called you for that, you know, a handful of times this week. That happened in the OT as well. What needs to happen with your footwork to master that? Because if you do, I mean, with your speed, your quickness, your athleticism, you're going to be unstoppable in those situations.
Yeah, I think it's just I just like had to slow down a couple of times where I just like cut the ball and went off like too fast. But I'm not like too worried about that either. But yeah, it's just something I got to think about heading to the next game.
I mean, that's the type of thing that like it's years of experience. It's mastering that. And like, how do you envision yourself in those roles when that skill is mastered?
Yeah.
Like how valuable will that be for you as somebody who's an off-ball guy who can just attack closeouts?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's like going to be really, really a great like part of my game too, because it's going to make me like more of a threat from anywhere, like being able to shoot the ball. So they don't have to close out. I can like attack, make the next read. So it's definitely like, yeah, something where I can build off.
I mean, I think it's such a good skill. Like you had a play, I think it was last night in Friday's game, where you had like this like nice off ball cut as well. You always seem to be locked in defensively. There's no question about your effort level. Offensively, you seem to like you don't get lazy off ball. You're still locked in looking for cutting opportunities or attacking closeouts. Where does that come from? Have you always played that way? Is it something, you know, a parent or a coach at some point kind of taught you the importance of?
Yeah, I think I always like played that way, but it's definitely like, yeah, my brother, my dad, who like used to like, even when I was younger, watch film with me and show me like the moments where I would like just passive and just be like, yeah, that's what you got to do there and there. So it's just like probably always thinking about that, what helped me like being locked in the game, like knowing if my defender's up, I can back cut. He's not going to see me, so I got something at the rim. So it's just things like that.
I mean, it's super valuable. I mean, you think about so many different NBA offenses. Like, there's the variety of styles. There's the more stationary styles where it's like a one player who's really dominating the ball, whether it's Luka in Dallas or what we used to see with James Harden in Houston. But then you have like the motion teams with the Kings right now, or the Warriors. And like, yeah, a lot of teams are playing with motion and movement. Mm. I think like with your style of play, it feels like it's tailor made for that type of style, where it's multiple guys sharing playmaking responsibilities, because you also have a like a knack for passing too.
Well, I think like, I think I could fit in most offenses. I don't see my game as just like being able to fit only one type of play. So I just think I gotta keep building off of it.
You watch a lot of NBA?
Yeah. I watch a lot of like Thunder, because my brother played for them, obviously. Yeah. I watched like every game, I think, last year. And then I watch like more other teams around playoff time.
I mean, OKC is kind of like that hybrid type of team. Like SGA can dominate the ball if necessary, but then they have Giddy and they have Williams. They have a bunch of guys who can handle the ball. Is that the type of style you feel like you enjoy watching the most?
I mean, yeah, I definitely enjoy watching that team, because like it's like a lot of versatility. Everybody can guard like more position. It's all really tall guys, a lot of length. So yeah, I feel like it's like a great team.
Did you play guard at all growing up? Like when you were, you know, 7, 8 years old playing basketball, did they have you playing the five? Did you play guard growing up? What's your background playing basketball?
I was more like of a wing, because I used to like play with the older guys. So I wasn't the tallest. Mm-hmm. I was more like just, 2, 3. So I had to like had more skills, because I wasn't faster than guys, wasn't jumping higher. So I had to like lock in on little things, or else I just couldn't play.
How'd you start playing?
Started playing because my brother and my dad was playing. So I was just like, I didn't even choose. Like, I just started playing basketball.
Did your dad play basketball growing up?
Yeah.
Was it professional at all?
No, he wasn't professional. It was more like for fun, like outside of work and everything.
How tall is he?
Like 6'9", 6'8".
How about your mom?
She's like 6'1", I think.
I heard they're living with you in Perth this year.
Yeah.
That must be nice, right?
Yeah, that's really nice.
You have a really good relationship with them?
Yeah.
When did you kind of first realize, oh my God, I could do this in my life. Like, this could be my career.
I think when I was like probably 12, when I went to a tournament in Spain, that's when like I started getting recruited by Real Madrid. And I think that's when like I realized like, oh, like that's where Luka Doncic went, you know, maybe I'm one of them too. Like I can be like that.
Why are you one of them?
I guess because like just my versatility and the impact I have like on both hands on the floor.
What about your mindset? I feel like that's the thing that like a lot of teams find attractive with your hustle. Like, how do you define yourself with your approach to the game?
I think I'm trying to show like that I'm one of the best players on the court every time I step there. And that was my mindset, like heading to the games, just like hunting on defense and just like trying to get buckets on offense, cheap ones.
And some of the plays where you just shut down Hall were filthy, but they were crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're 7 feet tall and you're out there on the perimeter. I mean, there's like elements of Jaren Jackson Jr. with you, with your weak side rim protection. There's elements of these lockdown smaller guys. Like you play like somebody who's 7 feet, but you move like somebody who's 6'6", 6'7". Yeah. At those long rangy wings. Those plays were filthy, man. have you had that like that type of defense your whole life? When did you start becoming a lockdown guy?
I mean, I feel like being like a lockdown guy, like you say, it was more like a. Probably 2 years last year. That's when I really felt like I got faster. Before that, I was more like still developing, I think. But yeah, like probably a year ago or so, like that's when I started realizing like I could be like a good off-ball and on-ball defender.
What changed? You said like you got faster. Was it something with the strength and conditioning program with OTE?
Yeah, definitely. Like that helped me a lot. Did a lot of that. Like that was almost 5 times a week, I think. So that really changed my physique. And then it's just to like, just when you get older, like just things click in your body, I guess. My wingspan got longer, so it helped me on things like this. I got taller. So
how much, so you're 220 now. What were you when you first started with OTE?
I was like 198.
Oh, wow. So you've gained a lot then.
Yeah.
Right? Have you felt it? Like, so you've gotten quicker as you've gained.
Yeah.
And you've gotten stronger as you've gained. Well, how heavy do you want to get eventually?
I mean, honestly, like, I don't think getting heavier will, like, slow me down. I think it'll, like, even just keeps building. So probably I see myself, like, around 235, 240 maybe.
who are the players you like watching most in the NBA?
Obviously, I'm going to say my brother. That's like...
You're biased, of course.
Yeah, I'm biased a little bit. But yeah, that's someone I watch. But then I don't really like... I don't like idolize just one player in the NBA. I watch like a lot of games and just like pick up from some players like that I see. But yeah.
Like who?
For example, like just... I watched Giannis, you know, obviously. Watched a lot of KD growing up. Just like guys that are versatile, that are big, that can do mostly like everything on the floor, you know?
I mean, you had that play in game two on Friday where you kind of received the ball at half court and just, you know, just freight train towards the basket. That was Giannis-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those type of plays, like, really, like, you can take advantage of because your defender's backing up. So it's like really, I think, something I gotta like keep digging into.
I mean, that's the interesting thing when you talk about like the strength aspect, like you've gained speed as you've gotten stronger. Yep. And as you continue to get stronger, that's going to make those drives to the basket even more devastating, which is why, like we talked about earlier with the closeouts, as your footwork gets better and as you kind of connect that handle so you're never getting called for those travels, like you're like, if you catch the ball from behind the arc, nobody's going to be able to stop you on those closeouts. That's going to be a major weapon for you.
Yeah.
Especially if the shot starts clicking. Like this week, you really did shoot well. I saw you had 3 or 5 from three this week, 8 of 11 from the free throw line. And that's obviously just a 2-game sample.
Yeah.
But that's way up from what you did with the overtime elite. You were 21.2% from three, 54% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Are you doing something different with your shot?
I mean, I think it's just like at the free throw line, especially just like, me going more to the free throw line just helps my percentage in general because back at OT, I used to go like once in a game. So obviously, if you make like 1 or 2, yeah, 50%, you know. But like me being more aggressive made me like, I think yesterday I had 7 free throws. So I have like more chance of making them, basically.
You're like having better rhythm. You're saying.
Exactly.
Now, like first shot, sometimes like you get the feel for it. But when you're at the free throw line or when you're taking a jumper, what are your eyes looking at? Do you look at the back of the rim? Or are you kind of looking in the middle? Like, what are you focusing on when you shoot?
Yeah, I feel like people always tell me to look at the back of the rim. So yeah, that's mostly what I look at.
So like mechanically with your feet or your hands or your elbow, there's nothing different from OT last year?
I think now I'm more into like a left-right kind of pull up from three, which like gives me more like strength and like makes it more one motion, I'll say.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like hoping into it.
Okay, so like you're kind of like your motion as you're bringing the shot up is a little bit different than it was prior. Yep. Is that something a Perth coach is helping you with, or do you have a personal?
Yeah, with John, he was like a really great shooter, and that's something he told me like when we were shooting like first practices. He was like, yeah, if you can always do left right, just do left right. Like find a way to get a lot of like motion towards the basket and your shot gonna look.
So when you're practicing, you're that like you're focusing on that, you're thinking about that and to try to make that new mechanic an old habit, like something that you just don't even think about.
Yeah.
How important is the jump shot for your future to reach your potential?
I think it's really important because nowadays, like you got to be able to stretch the floor and it just makes it a lot easier for just the guards if there's not a big guy that's rotating over the paint because there's a threat from the three. So I think it just helps the game like spread out.
I mean, the interesting thing with you, I said this to Almanza when I interviewed him the other day. With him, like he has always been kind of an inconsistent shooter as well. He shows flashes, he's got great touch near the basket, but the shot has never kind of clicked for him. And he said to me, he's like, I mean, I lose confidence if I miss one shot, that I just don't want to take the next one. With you, is confidence ever on your mind when it comes to shooting?
I don't think that's like my case, because for me, I think I'm always gonna shoot like whether I make him or not. Like if I'm open, I don't think I'll pass a shot. But of course, like if I miss 3, 4 in a row, maybe I'll start to like trying to make other reads. But I'm always gonna take the shots.
I mean, the thing I said to him, and I'll say to you as well. I think with you, like you could never take a 3 in your entire NBA career and still have a 10-plus year career because of your defense, because of your average finish, and because of the fact you can be used in so many different roles. So I think in that sense, you are clearly a high floor prospect. Mm-hmm. Like you're safe in the sense that teams can look at you and say, oh yeah, he's going to be with us for a long time.
Yep.
But if the shot clicks, that's where it's like, oh,
yeah,
this guy could be one of the best players in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that speaks to what you were saying about it being an important thing for you.
Yeah.
Is that your, do you think that is, like, what do you think is your biggest weakness right now on the court? What do you need to get best at?
I think what I really need to get best at is just overall my stamina, because I think that will give me like more opportunity. Because sometimes, you know, when you run back after two or three plays, your effort level is not as 100%. So like that's something like I think if I get really better at, and I can keep like a constant level of energy throughout the game, it's going to be like way more efficient.
So did you feel that this week? You're playing like 30-ish minutes each game.
I mean, definitely. Like it was a couple of times where it was like after running a lot, like maybe I should be like more, I should have more stamina during the year so I can build up.
Where'd you grow up in France?
Toulouse. It's like the south of France.
What's it like there?
It's really hot. It's more of like a rugby city. People don't really like and look at basketball that much, but it's starting to like grow more and more.
What was there to do there aside from, you know, you're playing basketball with friends and whatnot, your brother and your dad?
It was like, I used to play like an instrument when I was younger.
What instrument?
I used to play a trumpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you still play it at all?
Nah, I stopped when I was like 11.
Oh, so you don't remember anything?
I mean, maybe if I'm in front of a trumpet, but I never tried since, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was mostly it. Like just basketball, school, trumpet, my friends, my. Yeah.
So what's that area known for? Is there like a festival or anything like that every year?
It's known for like being like a, they call it like a pink city. Mm-hmm. It's like the bricks looks like pink during the sunset.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Also nice sunsets there.
Yeah.
Would you like to play for the national team someday?
I mean, yeah, most definitely. Like playing for the World Cups, and that's definitely a goal.
There's a lot of loaded. I mean, like the team is loaded.
Yeah.
There's so much great talent.
Yep.
Right. What do you think about who's your favorite French basketball players right now playing in the NBA?
Olivier Sarr, probably. But then, I mean, mostly him. I like Rudy, you know, because what he does defensively is impressive.
What's the best piece of advice you got from your brother when it comes to where you are and your journey right now?
To just trust myself and like always be confident. I think that's the best piece of advice he gave me. Like just like believe in the work I put in and just go out there and try to show it.
How do you stay confident?
I think just like some plays give you confidence, of course, but just like in your head too is a big part of it. Just like knowing your worth, I guess.
And what do you love about basketball? What do you love most about it?
I think like the endless things you can improve on. Like I think it never stops. Like I don't think I'll ever get a point in my career where it's like, oh well, like you do everything great. You know, like there's always something that you can work on to like get better at.
So it's like the satisfaction that you feel from having a goal and seeing it become a reality.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so like what has made you feel that the most so far in your time playing basketball?
Having a goal I would probably say like right now, just I was planning on just like being a better player this season, and I think it's clicking right now. So probably this.
I mean, it does seem like it's clicking, man. I think like I said to you earlier, you have a high floor. Like you can be this dominant defensive guy. Switching, that's so important in today's NBA. And offensively, I mean, the at-rim finishing, yep. The handle, your passing feel. If everything clicks, you could be one of those guys who is one of the better guys in the entire league. Like high floor, high ceiling. Last thought, when it comes to the NBA right now, everything's about versatility. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you're the type of player who's coming in at the perfect time. With your versatile style, does that kind of come from watching the game evolve into what it is today, like where there's no limitations on who you can be as a player, regardless of your size?
I mean, yeah, probably. Because, I mean, I think it just like the freedom people gave me is about that too. Because they realize like, nowadays guys have to like be positionless. And I mean, not positionless, but like know how to do everything. So I think that if it was back in the day and people just try to put me as a true center with like, no other like skills around it. So yeah, I think it's part of this too, like what the freedom people gave me growing up.
But what's your ultimate goal for the NBA?
My ultimate goal, I would say just like win championship, of course, and being able to play with my brother.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, sir.
Winning a title with him.
Yeah.
I wish you the best, Alex, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Alex Saar. I'll be back next week with my conversations with Manas Bouzelis and Eitan Almanzar from the G League Ignite. And if you didn't hear it on Wednesday, I had a convo with Ron Holland of the G League Ignite, another potential number one pick. Hope you enjoy your weekend.